Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part in My Take, Fullback Friday. Lorenzo Neal, Mike Allstott in studio.
Let's go.
Awesome interview. I've never seen PFT happier. It was essentially like he was on drugs, but yeah. He's not a drug guy.
No, it was natural.
But it would have been, if I have ever seen you on drugs, that's what you would have looked like.
I was wearing a tux. I was waiting for him. They were like 10 minutes late getting in the studio. I was pacing around. I was nervous.
I'll say it on the other side, but I had a thought that I was like going to, I would never have been more heartbroken for you, but I'll say it on the other side. We have NFL
you
weekend.
I was being punked?
I thought you were being punked for a second. I was like, dude, if this happens, I don't know how we're ever going
to
recover.
No, I knew I wasn't.
I really did. I was like, this is going to be the worst feeling of all time for PFT.
It would have been
the most elaborate
punking of all time.
Like, we would have had to carry you around in like,
I think I just would have died. My body would just would have known it was time.
Yeah, I had the thought for a second. All right, we have NFL weekend preview. We have some picks for you. I have a no-lose parlay for you. Firefest Fantasy Fuckboys Packed Friday show. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Pardon My Take.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Today is Friday, September 27th, and the Green Bay Packers are dead.
That's okay. Good intro.
That's fine. I feel good about it.
My Packers are okay. As Skip Bayless said, Aaron Rodgers gets too cool in the red zone.
PFT, I got some stats for you.
My first stat is Aaron Rodgers gets too cool in the red zone.
Okay, here's a stat for you. The Packers in 2019, first quarter points, 28. Second quarter points, 33. Third quarter points, 14. Fourth quarter points, 6.
I saw that. Listen.
Seems like people can make some adjustments on Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers' whiz kid offense.
Listen, if you got a heater of a passing attack inside the 5 yard line, you have to go back to that well at the end of the game.
Also,
4 fucking pass plays.
Well, no. 6 pass plays under the 5.
I'm talking about the goal line stand where it was 4 in a row.
But they went 0 for 2.
They went out there with 11 personnel.
Yep.
And it was 22 personnel, I think, at first. They tried to get the ball to Danny Vitale, who had a great game.
By the way,
we have a fullback in there that's itching. He looked like a bull that was ready to charge, scraping his foot, his little cleats against the ground.
On fullback Friday, no less.
It was disrespectful to the position. John Kuhn is rolling over in his grave.
Six plays inside the five, six passes, 0 points, one interception.
Mm-hmm. And a terrible helmet for Aaron Rodgers. He needs to do something about that helmet because he looks like a combination of Michael Dukakis in the Tank and John Olerud out there. His helmet gets bigger every single game. Like, they add an extra layer of paint to it.
Yep.
It just grows and grows. He looks like a Martian.
That play. We're watching a replay right now. Now, I won't be mean to Packers fans for the entire show. I'll say this. Devontae Adams obviously going out hurt.
Yes.
It's week four. This is a classic case, though, and be wary when you make your picks this week. The team that desperately needs a win. The team that's looking like they're going to go 1-3 and they were a playoff hopeful team. That desperation, the Eagles go into Lambeau. Doug Peterson, I love Doug Peterson. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. He's so aggressive. Even going for two when they were up seven, and he's like, our defense can't really stop him right now, so let's try to get it to nine instead of eight with an extra point. It was early. And I saw some people complaining about it, but that's Doug Peterson. You live by it, you die by it. I'd rather live with a coach who's aggressive and tries to steal the moment than a guy who goes wishy-washy, Freddie Kitchens, or Matt. Do we call it the Freddie Kitchens or the Matt LaFleur when you just pass from inside the 5-yard line?
I think you call it the Pete Carroll.
Okay, it's the Freddie LaFleur. Really overthought it.
So what happens to coaches who are going up against Doug Peterson is they know that Doug's got balls and that he does he goes for two a lot, goes for it on a fourth down, and the opposing coaches don't want to look dumb in front of Doug. And so they try to, like, they punch out of their weight class sometimes, and they get themselves into a zone where they're overthinking, where they're passing the ball too much. They're doing stuff that they wouldn't normally do because the guy across the field from you has his nuts in a wheelbarrow, and you are trying to get a bigger wheelbarrow, and you've just got a little tea bag hanging down between your legs.
We should also...
It doesn't really work that way. And so, yeah, good job, Doug Peterson. Matt LaFleur is still fine. His defense looked bad against the run.
I'm thinking we're going to get a real snarky Aaron Rodgers press conference.
I will admit that. No, they're fine.
We finished before so I can watch the
whole
thing.
No, they're doing just fine. Don't worry about that. I will say, though, that you're right. The NFC North looks really good.
Yes.
It's the best. It's the group of death this year.
Detroit Lions are in first place right now. The undefeated Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And also the Bears actually kind of won that game for the Eagles because they had Jordan Howard and Alshon Jeffery. Probably the best the Bears have played at Lambeau in a while.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to enjoy it. They came in there. They played well. The Eagles are back. They have, like, life back to them. It wouldn't have been done, but 1-3 and 2-2 feel it feels so different.
Yeah.
It really does. Even though it's only one game, it feels so different if you're like, we're 1-3 versus 2-2.
This is the exact time of the year where we start really getting those takes cooking. It's like week 2, week 3, week 4 is when you break out all the stats of teams that start 1-3 make the playoffs 12% of the time.
Right.
Teams that start the season 3-1 make it 70% of the time. And teams that start at 2-0-1, I guarantee you will not make the playoffs this year.
Yes.
We can probably take that to the bank. Detroit.
Well, you know, they have a big game against the Chiefs.
I famously said, if you sleep on the Lions, you'll never wake up.
Yeah, there you go. You did famously say that.
how about the refs? The refs sending a little message, I think. The refs are sending the message of, don't challenge our authority ever on anything because we're not going to overturn the calls because we got it right the first time.
Right. And the Thursday night football haters, go suck on an egg because...
I never really understood that.
No, I don't either, but I like it. Just go suck on an egg because that was a great game.
Go jump in a lake.
Two bad injuries. We got to maybe put the injury music under this. Two bad injuries, so that sucks for the stretchers out there twice.
It did suck, yeah. The second one looked pretty bad. I don't know if it's an abundance of caution or whatever it was, but it took like 10, 12 minutes to get him stabilized. That's not a good sign.
Okay, so, and then the Packers lost.
That's true.
We got to end it right there. So, you know what I'm saying? You see me?
That
you
did happen.
Yeah, you got it. All right, okay, so what else we got? We have barstoolgold.com/PMT to see Mike Allstott and Lorenzo Neal in studio.
And also, we bench pressed with them after.
We did a little competition.
And Lorenzo Neal benched.
Just seven, you'll have to watch. You'll
okay,
have to watch.
Yeah, I won't say it. Yeah, yeah.
You'll have
I
to watch. Yeah, nice.
Seven times. That was a he great benched seven times.
We benched more than Lorenzo Neal until so, proven otherwise.
I did think you were going to get catfished for a minute, and I was so nervous because you, no. PFT, dressed up in his tux.
Yep.
He was like,
I was beaming.
Floating
was beaming.
Around the office.
He was legitimately, you weren't in here for this, Big Cat? Like, the room was set up a little differently. If you see on Barstool Gold, you'll see that. He walked in and was like, is this right? Is this right? Are you,
oh, yeah.
Are you
yeah,
sure
yeah.
we should be doing this?
Do and we then, have everything right?
And then
do we have all
like,
the name,
I'm sorry, I'm
name
sorry.
Cards?
I'm just stressed.
Where's he sitting? Where's the, do we, where's the flower arrangement?
I was like, wait, it looks like we're competing against each other.
He's Bridezilla.
I was, yeah, oh, totally, totally. And, like, Hank was my wedding planner, just pumping me full of Xanax. But I was, they were following me around with a video camera because I was so excited, and I was just pacing back and forth. I was like, they're late, something's happening. They're
because
late. I knew I was, that thought never crossed my mind because I'd been in touch with so many people around them
right.
that I knew that they were coming. But yes, if I was getting catfish, that would have been pretty fucking funny.
Yes.
I also want to get ahead of something. I've realized I have a problem. I have an issue. It's a physical thing. I need to train better. I need to get better at it. I don't know how. I suck at clapping.
You look like you look like you're in fast mode whenever you're like
yeah.
speeding it up.
I got floppy hands. I don't know what it is, but I saw it last week when we were gambling on something. It was on Sunday in the gambling cave. Yeah, and then I saw it when I was spotting Mike Allstott. And then I brought the bar back, and then I clapped for Mike Allstott.
You look like a little kid.
But it was like the worst way that you could possibly clap for Mike Allstott doing a bench press.
You look like a little kid who just learned how to clap.
Yes, I'm thinking.
And you're showing everyone, like, yeah, I learned this.
I need to.
Admitting it's the first step, though.
Yeah. I recognize that. I think I'm going to do the Les Miles.
I think
this
it's
one.
Cute. I think you should be yourself when it comes to clapping. Yeah. You just get very excited.
I do.
It's like
I,
a dog wagging its tail and knocking everything off the listen, off the table.
It's pure joy. Yeah. That's all it was. It was a very fun time for me when they came into the office. So
that interview's coming up. Let's do the weekend slate. This is a great weekend slate. There is no bad weekend slate for the NFL. It's like 17 children. You love them all. You're basically Philip Rivers. PFT, we're going to get some winners. I got a new special thing going for everyone. I'm going to announce it in a second. We have a Larry's pick, but we're also brought to you, this whole segment is brought to you by BetMGM. PMT has a new home for sports betting this year, and you need to check out the BetMGM Sports New Jersey app. You can download the app, deposit, and check out lines from anywhere, but you need to be located in New Jersey to place your bets. I actually did this last weekend. I landed in New Jersey. I downloaded the BetMGM app, and it was awesome. Very quick. You can put money in right away. New players can make their first bet completely risk-free, up to $500 using our bonus code PMT. $500 risk-free with bonus code PMT. We're making all of our picks this season on BetMGM and weekly offers and bets just for our AWLs. Plus, this weekend, we'll be streaming during the witching hour on Sunday. So BetMGM has a special offer. It's running a special witching hour insurance promotion for all the users as part of our live stream. After opting into the promotion, your first bet for the 1 p.m. games is risk-free up to $20. That means this week, when you're usually sweating out the witching hour, you can take it easy knowing if things swing the wrong way, you'll be covered up to $20. So make sure you tune into the stream because BetMGM is putting together some special bets for some of our favorite recurring guests, too. I'll give you a little hint. We're going to have a Big Cat Bears boost. We're going to have a Gardner Minshew swag special. So we're going to be live, PMT live, witching hour, tune in, brought to you by BetMGM. And I am also going to do something special for BetMGM, but I'm going to reveal it at the end. I'm having my no-lose parlay of the week.
Whoa.
My no-lose. It literally cannot lose.
Okay.
Does Larry have a pick, Hank?
He does. Here's a clue. Francis, Damien, John, Elizabeth.
People in the Bible.
John and Kate plus 8.
Their names of?
Queens. Kings.
Lions.
Lions.
They probably Chiefs. Are names of lions. Saints.
Saints.
There you go.
Damn, we are dumb.
Man, we're going to hell.
All right, so check out BetMGM. Must be 21 or older. Must be in New Jersey to place bets. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for the full list of terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay. We have a lose-release town game.
Yes, we do.
We got a big-time lose-release town game. It's also the first chapter of the Pinky game. The Falcons and the Titans is an ultimate loser leaves town game. The loser of this game is done.
Yes.
The Falcons are already done, but it's truly over.
And
for
the
this
and
team.
The winner of this team is going to be an Are We Sure They're Good team?
Yeah,
going
to be possibly a playoff team. Everyone's going to talk about that.
Yes, the winner of this game will be the most boring team that makes the playoffs.
Here's something. Here's a little tip. I had this rule. I wrote this rule down week one. If a Mike Vrabel coach team is an underdog and people are counting them out, that's when you bet on them.
Mm-hmm.
So just take them, because this is a game that the Titans will win and win convincingly, and everyone will be like, whoa, are the Titans back? And then when they're favored next week, they will drop an egg and score like 3 points.
I feel like these two coaches going against each other, Vrabel and Quinn, it's like two guys in a Frank Thomas Nugenics commercial.
Yeah.
It's like Dan Quinn is the guy with low T, and then he pops a couple of those pills that have like fish oil and jewel liquid.
Got a mustache.
And then he just transforms. Oh, I feel so much better.
Yes.
And the wife doesn't mind it either.
Yes. It's going to be a fun game to watch. Well, no, actually, it will not be a fun game to watch. But it is a loser leaves town.
It will be interesting to see who won.
Yes. Who wins. We also have a very rare. I'm not. Hank's going to yell at me for this. But I would call it an Are We Sure We Good, but it's also like, so it's Bills, Are We Sure They're Good, and Patriots, Are We how good are they?
I actually had this game listed as New England, Buffalo, Are We Sure They're Great?
Yeah, because this is, the Patriots obviously have played not great opponents. You play your schedule, who cares? But this is the best defense they're going to face. And on the other side, it's the best defense that the Bills are going to face. Mm-hmm. The Bills, it feels like every year, right around this time, the Patriots go into Buffalo. Buffalo has all the hope, and it doesn't go well. So now, if the Patriots lose, it doesn't matter because they'll still be there. But if the Bills win, that kind of changes the whole course of their season.
I need to see something out of the city of Buffalo this weekend. I don't know how you step up from throwing a dildo onto the field. Maybe just throw a full sex doll, I was thinking, just like inflatable sex dolls everywhere.
Someone cut off their cock and throw it on the
field.
Punch Dave in the face.
Oh, damn.
An actual penis on the field would really step things up. I don't know if they're committed enough to do that in Buffalo just yet. Maybe just throw some tables onto the field, just full tables.
Yeah.
I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying that would be a sign that they're taking it seriously.
The tables or the punch Dave in the face? If someone punched Dave in the face, it would be like when Big Poppy got shot. Like the person who punched Dave in the face would just get ragdolled, and it would not be a good scene. Don't you think?
It will be interesting to see what happens.
Because, I mean, Barstool is a Buffalo town. Like, Buffalo loves us. We love them. Now Dave's going to go in there and be a jerk to them, but I think at the end of the day, there's still a love.
I think there is. Yeah. I fucking love Bills fans.
Yeah.
They are the best. The Zubaz Buffalo, is going to be out in full force. Zubaz tuxedos, the whole nine yards. This is your weekend to shine, Buffalo.
It is.
Don't
I wish
let
they
us
could
down.
Flex it. But of course, as Hank explained on Monday, they can't because they hate the Patriots.
The league
right?
doesn't want this game to be in prime time.
Yeah, actually, I don't think the city of Buffalo wants this game to be in prime time.
You want, the city of Buffalo, for legal and safety reasons, wants to limit tailgating time to under 35 minutes.
Right, right. So that one's going to be a very interesting one. And the night game, obviously, the Cowboys and the Saints, I think that's a true Are We Sure They're Good Yet? Because the Cowboys, similar to the Patriots, have played no one.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to go into the dome. I don't care who's quarterbacking in the dome. You got to go into the dome and try to prove your worth. Jerry Jones is going to be sitting there. He's going to have his binoculars set on Sean Payton the entire time.
Well, he's
going
to be
licking his lips
back and forth between Kellen Moore and Sean Payton.
Yeah,
just
like,
be like,
who do I want?
Look at this boy.
Yeah,
look at this man.
He's eating all
the boy
stuff.
Well, Jerry Jones is going to be dealing with a wicked hangover after a night on Bourbon Street. That bus is just going to be parked in the middle of Bourbon Street or Frenchman for about 8 hours, just pounding Johnny Walker Blue.
I wouldn't be shocked if Jerry Jones at this point in his life is just like, hey, put a bed in my suite and I'll just crash there.
Mm-hmm.
They drop him off from, like, and even though the game's at night, he's like, just drop me off in the suite. I'll just sleep in the suite.
Yeah, he saw Hugh Freeze's setup. He's like, I want something like that.
I want that. Okay, should we do some picks?
Let's do it.
Hank, why don't you start us off with some favorites?
He's crunching
like
the numbers right
it?
Now.
I'm crunching some numbers right now. I think my favorite that I'm going to take will be the Chiefs.
Okay. Ooh. I had that too, Hank.
Interesting.
Good pick.
-6. Thank you. Good pick as well to you. People aren't talking about this enough, but this is the first professional game that Patrick Mahomes is playing indoors.
And
he's been an outdoor cat his entire life.
And the first game he's playing as a 99 rating in Madden.
Oh, that's probably even more significant.
So now he really has to step up.
Yeah, we'll see how he can fare with a roof over his head.
Mm.
I don't know. Everyone's expecting him to light it up. I'm hoping that he does too. I mean, it's
pointed thus far.
But you know what's crazy? And now I don't want to get nerdy on everyone here, but if you look at the advanced stats, he actually has taken a step back from last year thus far, but he's so damn good that it doesn't even make, like, he's thrown some interceptions that have been dropped, that kind of thing. But he's so damn good that you don't even notice it.
Yeah, what? He may have taken a step back, but he's not disappointed.
Correct. He's still going to throw over 6,000 yards. When I say he's taking a step back, I mean he went from 100 out of 100 to like 99.5 out of 100.
Someone did a contract extension simulation for him on Madden, and the deal that they came up with for him was 7 years, $270 million.
Done. It's a bargain.
It is a bargain.
Absolutely. You know, okay.
So I was thinking about this because tonight's game is obviously the Packers and the Eagles. But I was thinking about, like, big, fat coaches and how I miss these teams, Andy Reid teams. Like, I miss the Eagles having a fat coach a lot.
Yeah.
And I miss the Packers having a fat coach.
It fits it.
And what I don't like more than anything else is the Cardinals. When you have, like, Cliff Kingsbury, when you have a hot guy that's coaching your team and he does something like kick a field goal from the 2-yard line. That's a fat guy move. That's a fat guy coach move.
Because their brain doesn't work really well.
A skinny guy
tired.
Playing conservatively sucks. There's nothing worse than that.
No, I agree. Yeah, fat coaches, they get tired as the game goes along and they just can't think as well.
You just kick it.
The fat coaches are kind of out.
I hate that.
Yeah. No, it's...
Who's the next one? There's no, like, young, hot offensive coordinator or defense coordinator that's been being talked about as the next big
coach. I guess Freddie Kitchens and Matt Patricia both got hired in the last 2 years. That helped.
Freddie Kitchens could swell up. I could see him getting there.
I mean, he's pretty big. He's a pretty big boy.
Yeah, also the name Kitchens kind of helps, too.
Yeah, he's always in the kitchens. Yeah. All right, so you're taking the Chiefs as well?
Yep.
I want to take the Bears, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to be biased here, but I think the Bears will win by 100.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I'm going to take PFT, your guy, Joe Flacco, the Denver Broncos, -3. I love Gardner Minshew. He's a recurring guest. Gardner Minshew's been around a little too much this week. Mm-hmm. He went out to the Palouse out at Washington State last Saturday. He took a picture with Funko Rico.
I saw that. He still makes me want to climb a tree naked.
He had a Thursday night football game.
I'm just saying, I think Gardner Minshew's very good. I think the second game, you know, it is the third game he started, but he had his first win. Now he has to go to Denver. It's still hot, all that stuff.
The altitude.
I think Denver finally wins again. And Denver is in a true must-win, like, mm-hmm. the season's over if we don't win.
Right. I was talking to Jeff DeLoe about this, and we were trying to figure out what the problem with Flacco has been this year. And I think we came up with it.
He's old.
Number one, he's just...
He was never that good.
There's something wrong with him. I think it's time to get that narrative started that just like Cam Newton, there's something physically wrong. He's hurt. He's playing through something right now. And then we tossed out the idea that maybe he has sickle cell, like Ryan Clark had.
Yeah.
So maybe just him playing in Denver this whole time.
And he's just fighting through it.
On the verge of death every single play. Which, if there was a quarterback that was dying while he was playing, the result would look a lot like how Joe Flacco's played.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so those are our favorites. Hank, why don't you go with your underdog?
I will go with the L.A. No, I'm just kidding. I said the Rams last week as my underdogs, but they weren't underdogs.
Mm. That's okay.
It's all right.
That counts.
It's on us for not catching you.
Yeah.
My underdog, I will go with the Redskins.
Mm.
Okay.
Dwayne Haskins, finally going to be his time.
PFT has said 0% chance they win the game.
0% chance. Also, he's not playing. So there's that.
Definitely?
Yeah, he's playing with the scout team all week. So Case Keenum's playing.
So maybe the whole scout team plays.
Maybe the entire existence of the last 20 years of the Redskins has been a giant rope-a-dope for this weekend.
Yeah.
And they're like, ha, we finally got
him. I still
like
that pick, Hank.
Good bet, Hank.
I still like that pick.
Daniel I thought
Jones
was hurt.
A little too high. Go back. Everyone's loving Daniel Jones.
Keenum is hurt.
Yeah.
But he's still going to play.
Everyone
but
loves
if he gets, if he gets hurt early.
He's not injured.
Okay, PFT, your underdog.
My underdog, I am going to go with the Dolphins again.
Oh,
and you want to know why?
Stop.
Chargers are traveling east.
Stop.
Chargers are traveling east. That's all you got to say about
it. Just roll it out there and win that game.
They got Melvin Gordon coming back. There's going to be too many touches in the backfield.
None
of the guys. He's not?
Oh, hey, there you go.
Okay.
Fucking got him.
Melvin Gordon's a distraction, though. That's what I'm going to spin this into. So,
got him.
So Eckler's going to be upset that Melvin Gordon's coming back.
You got him.
Phillip Rivers, they're going to win the game, but I don't see him covering 15.5.
Okay. I'm surprised this one's still on the board here from everyone. I think the Browns are going to cover 7 easy. I think the Browns are going to win this game because they need it more than anyone else. And you hear it all week about how Freddie Kitchens sucks. By the way, did you see the video that it might have been a Baker audible?
Yeah.
But I deleted that from my memory, so it was Freddie Kitchens isn't an idiot.
I heard Baker not take responsibility for it. I heard Freddie take responsibility
there
for
you go.
It. So Baker told us that it was Freddie by not saying it was him, so I'm going to believe that.
I think the Ravens are slightly overrated and the Browns are underrated, and 7 seems like too much.
Also,
it was a 26-24 game in week 17 last year.
Yeah.
And now we're, you know, not – the Browns have gotten a little better. Lamar's obviously gotten better, but – feels like 7's too much.
And John Harbaugh has become the new Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
He's doing the advanced
goes
stats and analytics.
All the time.
It'd be interesting to find out if there's like somebody that that does online analysis for football teams that is a consultant that might be working for the Ravens. I'm just putting two and two together.
Interesting.
I don't know. Not going to name names, but he's not Warren Dull.
I think he bashed the Browns, so we crossed him off the list.
No, I'm saying he works for the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. He works for the Ravens. All right, Hank, you're over. Go.
Patriots, Bills.
Ooh.
Okay, interesting.
I hate it so
under.
Much, I love it.
That's my under. I don't hate that logic, but no, I seriously don't.
Yeah.
Like, if you just look at something
fade
long
yourself.
Enough, you're like, this is so bad, and then you're just like, you know what? Let's fucking do it.
Was it
like you assume that the Patriots are going to shut the Bills out because they haven't let up a touchdown, and
you
then
do assume
you think
that, yeah.
the Patriots will win by like 21 points, but then there's still, you know, 21 points.
Right.
Where's that coming from?
Right. It's going to happen somewhere.
That's a good point, Hank. It was Confucius who said, the wisest man is the man who knows nothing. Who knows that he knows
nothing. That's Hank.
Who knows that he knows nothing. And Hank has finally realized that, making you the smartest man.
Yes.
Correct.
All right. What's your pick, PFT, for your over?
My over, I'm going Kansas City, Detroit. Patrick Holmes has never played a game indoors. And so he's good. Something about that roof over his head.
Yep.
It's just going to work. It's all going to click.
Fast turf. All right. I'm taking the Giants and the Redskins over. I feel like there's going to be no defense in that game. Over 49. Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
That's going to be great. Hank's not even listening. All right. Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins.
When he comes out, it's going to be like
Listen. When you get Dwayne Haskins and Jordan Reed on that field together,
Terry.
I like that.
The OSU connection back in action.
Mm-hmm.
All right, unders. Gross. I'll start, actually. I have the Patriots Bills under.
Okay.
42.5. I'm going head to head on that one. That one's going to be gross in terms of offensive football.
I'm going to go Broncos Jags.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Good bit.
I don't mind that.
38.5?
Yeah. No, I'm 38 right now, but.
I'll give you the half.
I'm going Seattle, Arizona.
Mm.
48. I think that Seattle's going to win like 24-12.
Okay.
One of those types of scores.
Okay. All right, so those are our picks. I'm going to do something special here, so I teased it.
It's 4 field goals from Cliff Kingsbury, all from within the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my special thing. This is going to be my no-lose parlay of the week. I did it week one at one, and I forgot to do it the last 2 weeks, so I'm back. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this?
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, let's do Fantasy Fuckboys, and let's get to our huge, huge interview with Lorenzo Neal and Mike Allstott.
What's up, boys?
Yeah.
It's Mike and Osarugula.
Oh.
My stardom is E-cubed. That's right. Triple fucking E.
Yeah.
E-E-E-E.
Talking Molly.
We got 4 deaths this month in Massachusetts alone. That shit is back. Get some Triple E. Don't get some Triple E. Stay inside. Don't go inside. Triple E.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm not touching that fucking Triple E.
What are you talking about?
Do you have a mosquito, bro?
Oh, You talking about Ebola?
Triple E. That's where that
West Nile fucker Napoleon got his ass kicked.
Mosquitoes fucking suck your arm and you die.
Okay.
Triple E.
Shit.
Might just be a Boston thing.
Okay, a little late for mosquitoes.
No. Okay. My sit-em is Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
That dude looks old as fuck.
Yeah.
No way he can still throw a football over those mountains.
Damn, I never believed he could in the first place.
Looks Whoa. Like he's been sucking down some mosquito blood.
And my sleeper is Pitbull. J-Lo's performing at the halftime show in Miami, and Mr. 305 isn't missing that big of a party.
That is such bullshit. Pitbull is Miami's Imagine Dragons.
Dale.
I like how you said Miami.
Miami.
Gonna be doing the white.
Yo, what's up? This is Biscotti Too Hotty. This weekend, I'm starting Tony Romo. That's right, good Italian kid. He's gonna be out there on the golf link. And if he wins, get Ravel. Deleted the old Twitter account, baby.
Oh, we need to put out a hit out on whoever's in first.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Let's murder some people, Hank.
I'm writing this down. We gotta talk about this after.
Darren Rebell said.
We'll talk about it after.
You write this down because we're gonna chew the fat on this one.
Okay.
I'm sitting referees. That's right, refs. You know what we used to do to whistleblowers back in the day?
Yeah.
Don't get political.
We give you some illegal contact. Long as it's within the 5-yard boundary of the line of scrimmage, I could murder you, you whistleblow fuck. My fire fest of the week, that's my sleeper of the week. I'm sleeping bye weeks.
Oh.
Sleeping bye. I know what you're thinking. No football for my team. My guys aren't playing. What am I supposed to do for 8 hours? Well, I'll tell you what, trick your family into thinking that you're skipping out on your team's game to hang out with them on Sunday. Don't tell them it's a bye week. They'll think you're a saint. Shout out Francis. Shout out Mary. Shout out Paul, Peter. God bless.
Mary. All of them. All right. What's up, guys? I don't have a name this week because I always forget my names and then it always just be to tortellini or something.
Nice. Stardom. Johnny, no name.
My stardom is Kobe Stans. Bleacher Report came out with their top 50 all-time NBA players and Kobe was 14. Steph Curry is 10 and Kobe's 15. They're mad. They're real mad. They're big mad.
Who the neighbors?
Mamba
mentality.
My sit-em is Kawhi Leonard because speaking of Kobe, Kobe's teaching Kawhi how to hog the basketball and be a terrible teammate. That's got to send a shiver down your spine, Clippers fans.
Hopefully he teaches him how to talk.
Kawhi or die.
My sleeper is flannels. It's flannel season. That's it.
Comfy.
That's it.
Just get comfy.
I love flannels. Makes you feel like you're Nirvana or something.
Makes you feel like you're getting hugged by a lumberjack on every inch of your body.
Put on some Radiohead and listen to, sip a coffee and just be like, this fucking life sucks.
Radiohead's for fucking pussies.
Yeah, but life sucks. All right, we got to clean up some shit because, one, I wanted to talk quickly about this Kobe Bleacher Report list because that's fucking funny. Bleacher Report has, figured out a way in the middle of September. Who the fuck cares about the top 50 NBA players? I don't know. Was there a reason why they put it out there?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just happened to see.
Is there something I missed?
I stumbled across a list of the top 50 current players, and J-Butt was 21.
Ooh.
I don't know if you saw
that. Well, no, he's fallen off since I made the proclamation.
So
I never said that.
I squatted on the take.
Kobe was ranked 14. Steph Curry was ranked 10. Kobe Stans, Bleacher Report, literally, I think they sat in a meeting and they're like, hey, we need some content that isn't us just like having a guy get pancake block and then turn into a literal pancake. What can we do to get everyone riled up? I know. Put Steph Curry ahead of Kobe on an all-time NBA players list, and you will get the most interactions because Kobe Stans are the craziest people on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably squeezing a lot of content out of this because they can very easily just take a screenshot of Steph being ahead of Kobe and just do the who did this fam.
Right.
Cry face. That's a million retweets right there. Then they can do a slideshow of all the Kobe stans that threatened to kill us for putting him behind Steph Curry on the list. Boom, more content right there.
Right. So, Gene, hats off when they've got a win, like when they did that picture for the U.S. women's team where it was just a bunch of random celebrities and they just set the internet on fire, or when they have Kobe behind Steph Curry, I'll tip my cap. The greatest trolls that aren't really trolls, that are accidental trolls of the internet.
Yeah, Kobe, behind you is one position you do not want Kobe Bryant to be.
Correct. The other thing, Ravel?
Yeah.
What is this?
So Ravel said that he would delete his Twitter account if Tony Romo won the golf tournament that he was in this weekend. Because Tony Romo was playing as an amateur in a PGA tournament this weekend.
So Boomer is going to fill in?
It's not a PGA tournament, but it's filled with professional golfers. Boomer Esiason is going to fill in on Sunday if Tony makes the cut.
So
our darling Jake, whose birthday it is today, by the way, told me he's five back.
Very cool, Jake.
Today.
Oh, so Ravel's a fucking pussy. Did he tweet it before or after?
No, before.
Oh.
It was before, so yeah.
All right, maybe he's
and
not.
And he birdied. He's definitely a pussy, but not for that reason. But Tony birdied the first hole.
I also feel like this is like if Tony Romo wins, like I could definitely see Ravel like replying and being like, haha, just kidding. Or like,
yeah.
I would delete my Twitter for a minute. Or,
yeah,
like,
right.
Some dumb bullshit.
Like, how hilarious would it be, though, if Boomer got up in the booth and absolutely killed it and took Tony's job and did a DAC on Tony again?
Real shame. Real shame.
Okay, so that is our weekend preview, our fantasy fuck boys, big college football game in Nebraska. I'm rooting for you, Nebraska. I know I shit on you guys a lot. I want you guys to be relevant again. It's not going to happen, but it's nice to say those things, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very nice to
say those things. I know that they're not going to win and nothing is going to come of it, so I can comfortably sit here and be like, I'm rooting for you guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah, like you guys, I want you guys to do this.
Nebraska, college football is better when Nebraska's a good team.
Yeah, when Nebraska is doing steroids in the 80s. Now people are going to be really mad about that. All right, let's get to Mike Allstott and Lorenzo Neal.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Let's get to our interview. Mike Allstott and Lorenzo Neal. Okay, we now welcome on two very special guests. So special. PFT is in his tuxedo. They're future Hall of Famers.
Looking good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's Fullback Friday. We have two legends of the game, Lorenzo Neal and Mike Allstott, future Hall of Famers. I'll say it again. We just got to get in the pipeline. Thank you guys for coming here. We randomly have a bench press that we might have to use later.
That's weird. It just showed up today.
So we have the bench press. We got the fullbacks. This is the
PFT
most nervous he's ever been.
I'll do some reps.
Yeah. Yes. Right there.
What's the over-under on reps I can do? Because I don't even know.
I'm going to say 10.
I got 12.
That's okay.
Disrespectful from both of you guys.
I'll
do 15.
Well, we were smart because we got the bench press, but we only have 245, so you can't go on.
I was thinking of my reps, actually. And
what
do you guys
I was going to be 13.
Okay. What do you bench right now?
225. That's the max I'll do.
Yeah,
okay. Just a lot of reps.
Yeah, just throw it up there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. What about you, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I'm in the same wheelhouse. I don't really go that heavy anymore. 225. But I could. I mean, we had to. Me and the big fella. We can still throw it around if we want to. Yeah. But we don't do it anymore. Yeah, you know, we let the
we
kids
got
do
issues.
It.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like us. Yeah, we got all these injuries.
I don't go for weight anymore.
We go for tone. We keep it pretty tight up. We're a health conscious podcast.
Right.
Before we get into it, because I'm going to have some very nice things to say about both you guys.
You're right.
I want to address an elephant in the room. Mike, I've been talking a lot of shit about you recently.
Yeah.
And we need to squash this right now.
Is it about my offense?
It's about your offense that you run. You're a high school coach,
mm-hmm.
and you don't use a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? What the hell? Like, you're just going to turn your back?
I've been coached up. You know about this? Here it is. I don't have no social media. And I never have, and I really don't get into it. And but again, the boys from Western Michigan are filling me in on everything that's going on.
Your son, right?
Yeah, my son and your fan base, right? And I got this last night from me. You better be a heads up, Dad. He's going to ask you about the fullback.
I think that's great.
Yeah, yes. You don't run 11 personnel.
So what's up with that?
I don't have the personnel.
You don't have a fullback?
You don't have any. You can't. Just,
you can't grow a fullback,
or you can't just sneak in a pair of pads. You gotta understand,
I have a school of 260 kids I coach at.
Okay,
right? Total enrollment, right? So I'll have 30 kids, and so when my son was playing in 13 to 16, right, I did have a fullback, right? I did go spread, but again, when it came into when we wanted to pound the ball, I did bring a fullback in there. I had actually two fullbacks then, and I don't right now. So
you have any, like, have you, like, I would imagine you just show up at, like, the middle school being like, that kid's going to be a fullback. Like, what how do you know?
There's no question. When they walk through the door to Shadow and they went there, an eighth grader, and they were right there in the office going, hey, what do? You play basketball? I mean, you play football? You play football? You play sports? You know what I mean? What's going on? So, yes, we're all about the kids walking in.
So what does a fullback look like? Like, what's the type? What are the traits that need to be to a kid has to have for you to be like, that's my fullback?
Oh, 6'1", 250.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's easy for like a 14-year-old.
On the right. Yeah. They're on the yeah. Yeah, I see those every day.
What do you mean?
Just like if you take Gronk and you just squish them together and compress them a little bit. Yeah, just why don't you just take
No, one? I just need a bowling ball. I need an aggressive kid, you know what I mean? I need an aggressive kid to go in there and hit the linebackers and, you know, hit the end on the power and,
Michael,
and do it.
I never thought I'd see the day. I'm so glad you brought that up, that you're going to sit here and tell me you play basketball on the grass and you think you're going to win on a consistent basis. I'm disappointed. Thank you.
PFT. Yeah.
Thank you. Really? PFT, thank you. That's all.
Exactly. Let's talk about this. So when I did come up with this offense, the first 2 years I was tight end, all right, and fullback, running back, right? Mm-hmm. High school, they packed the box. I didn't have the personnel.
22
so
personnel.
All right, so I had to spread them out, right? Spread them out. Then my quarterback, who is who? My son.
Uh-huh. Of course.
So how are you going to tailor an offense, right? You're going to tailor an offense to, you know, your quarterback because obviously you want him to get notoriety and be able to do – sorry about that.
You don't
want
That's to pay okay. for college. That's okay. That's huh? how this whole thing started yeah. is because you didn't want to pay for his college.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So That's smart. Okay.
So you were running up the score so that your son could get all the stats. You were basically playing like
the whole read game, the whole thing, just like everybody else is doing, right?
Yeah, when you play, they don't have the college football video game anymore, but I would always play, and then the first week I'd put up 15 touchdowns against, you know, the Sisters of the Poor so I could get the Heisman. You're doing that in real life with your kid.
Well, we're trying, actually. That's the goal, right? That's the goal.
That's perfect. That is perfect.
So I think a lot of people don't realize that you guys used to be teammates back in the day for a hot second, right?
Yeah.
In the Bucks. So when you guys were playing together, who was first string? Who was second string?
I was second on everything, and a backfield with me and Mike when I would be in.
Well, we had packages though.
Yeah,
we had packages.
Well, so we were the big boys. Rhino.
We were a Rhino package.
Okay.
So again, if we got hot, you know, Ward got kind of upset.
Yeah. Did you guys ever go one on one? You guys ever do a little?
I'm sorry, Ward, but you did.
Yeah. You guys ever do an Oklahoma drill against each other?
No.
Bull in the ring. Anything like that?
Him, get on my hip. And don't dip.
Let's ride.
That's what you say?
Yeah. Call up the dog and piss on the fire. Let's ride. That's right, baby.
Yes.
I'm in the huddle. Right. Can't breathe. And come on, daddy, let's go. Get on my hip.
We were – there was a great story. We were playing – so we'd do this – every time we'd score, we'd do the Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa,
the punt.
We were rolling because people didn't want to see us. I mean, Denny Green, rest in peace. I think they went 15 and what, two? The only game they lost
was us. We were 3-4, and we had a win.
And we played them. Mike went crazy on them. I think we had over 300 yards rushing. We just lined up, and then hardly lose a game there. We just played smash-mouth football. This guy's tongue's hanging out of his mouth, and like, let's go, buddy. Let's go. We were just running the ball down their throat.
This guy's hilarious in the huddle. Hilarious.
Yeah. We get fired up. Yeah. What a big win for us.
What's the best hit you guys ever put on somebody? Best block you ever had?
I'm gonna say the best run against Washington against when he ran over Springs, the Ohio State DB was it
Sean Springs. Springs.
Sean Springs,
yeah, wearing the white compression sleeves, and yeah, I remember that. Actually.
You get in the truck job and you said, "Get on my back."
I accidentally stepped on his chest when I ran through him.
Oh,
yeah, you'd stepped on a lot of guys' chest.
And he asked me, "Why'd you do that to me?" When we were in like TV timeout, and I'm like, I didn't mean to, bro.
Yeah, that was a brutal game. I remember that. You didn't get in on that 2-point conversion at the end of the game, by the way.
Oh, no.
You were stopped at the goal line. No, you were stopped
from the one.
From the one,
right?
You were stopped at the goal line.
He's on you today. Yes. He is on you. You brought it today, Brad. You ready for it?
I remember.
You dressed up for us.
I did. But this is how I'm showing you love, by letting you know that, like, I'm going to set a tone in this interview right now. Just like you want to hit somebody first play of the game. That's what I'm doing right now, showing you who the alpha is at this table.
We're going to have to come over to the table.
Yeah. What about the run?
Never mind. What about your, my question.
What about your run against the Browns, which is like the Mike Allstott run I always think of is that one, and it's perfect because it was like 9 yards. And it was it wasn't a touchdown or anything, but you just basically shred everyone, just throwing people off of you. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, no, I recall. It was just, you know, an opportunity. I mean, I think a lot of times is, you know, certain situations for me to get the ball was 4 minutes, goal line, and I was always a guy that needed to take care of my opportunities or otherwise I wasn't going to get it again, you know what I mean? So I was, you know, just a second, third, fourth, fifth effort guy, and that's how I always played.
Okay. And then, Lorenzo, I was reading up on some of the old interviews you did, and my favorite thing you said was that you're just Eddie George's doorman. And I think that's the perfect way to describe a fullback. You're like, I'm just his doorman. I'm out there. So you blocked for some unbelievable running backs, you know, LT, but Eddie George as well.
Corey Dillon, Mike Allstock, work done. All those guys. And everyone was so unique in so many different ways. I remember talking about a big hit. I think Ray Childers. I don't know if you guys remember him. I'm going way back in days, my days in New Orleans. He's a defensive lineman, big, strong guy. It did a wham block. And I hit him, and it hurt me too. But he said, I think he broke, you can read his lips, I think he broke my effing arm.
Jesus.
I mean, it was a nice, nice hit. I mean, he sat on the ground. They had to come get him, and he was like, gave me the look. And I was like, sometime you get the bear, sometime the bear gets you. So that particular one was that one. Like, oh, okay, I got that guy, and he was a hell of a player. But that's it. It was about being selfish. It's about, hey, you know what? You line up. You know, you go out there. And if you want to play, especially with the fullback position, you see how it's just a dying breed and they don't get the reps and get the, you know, the praise I think that they deserve. They're linemen in the backfield. And Mike was one of the elite ones because of the fact he could run, could catch, do a lot of other things that, you know, it could be a tailback / fullback, H-back. He could do it all. He was versatile, one of the most versatile fullbacks that, you know, the game has seen. And it's just been, you know, that journey of just going out there and saying, you know what, I'm going to impose my will on you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you quit. You are not going to stand and last for four quarters against me. That's what I thrived off of, and that's what, you know, kind of drove me.
Is the fullback coming back, though? Because I feel like Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, all these guys, you know, what the Patriots are doing,
yeah.
It feels like a lot of offenses now, not counting Mike Allstott's because he doesn't run with a fullback, but most most off now Mike Allstott's looking at me and I was scared shitless.
No, keep
it coming.
I thought
we had a good rapport and I overstepped it
occasionally,
way too early.
It's like you and Bo Pelini are two guys that we've interviewed where they'll be laughing and then 1 second they'll just
like
straighten the
right
mouth out and just
soul.
Stare at you like I might kill you.
Yeah.
I think you like us, but I'm still but you still might murder us.
But so the fullback's coming back, right?
Yeah. You guys got a jersey up to 42. I like with Kansas City. He gets
sure.
he gets after it. He's a boy dog.
Sausage.
He'll bite you. He'll hit you. You
it's
saw
not
Cal-
coming back enough though.
It's not
coming
but
back.
But Kyle Juszczyk, man, they use the fullback over 50%. You don't
no
watch,
no no. I get it. There's certain teams. Some guys have been coaching for so long,
yeah,
right?
Kyle Shanahan,
and they got it going on, right? And
right?
He came from that tree,
yeah,
right. He came from that tree with the fullback, but you know, in the other the. Upcoming young offense coordinators, they're not doing that, right?
Well,
I mean, so
yeah,
the Ravens do a little bit.
The Ravens do it. The Broncos, they got Juszczyk.
Yeah,
it's a new fullback. It's actually kind of like what you guys were, where you can, you know, catch the ball a little too, and
it's more the
dynamic.
It's more the age.
Yeah,
not
Juszczyk.
You know, it's not the traditional like you know, hey, put you in the backfield and we know we're coming at you.
Yeah,
you know
just
what I mean?
Ram through holes.
I think the success the Patriots have had, especially in the postseason over the last year, like Devlin is a big part of that short yardage offense.
Is.
Like,
is.
And he is an old school fullback. He's they'll split him out wide sometimes, but 9 times out of 10, his job is to run directly
you
downhill.
You know, but the Patriots have a great system of everybody knows their role,
right?
Right, and there's nothing selfish about them. So. And I think that's what was so successful when we were the Buccaneers and stuff like that, when we were making our run. We knew our role, and we knew what the heck to do for each other. You know what I mean? And they play for each other. And that's why some guys can't live in the Patriot system. You know what I mean? And if they do, obviously you've seen, you know, recent stories on people. But, again, we were so, you know, unselfish in a lot of our manners. Like, when your time came, you had to make opportunity of it. And that's how my story is. You know what I mean? When I got the ball, I wanted to, you know, do it for my team more so than the stats or whatever it was that I needed to do. And it just came about because we worked so hard together.
Did you, when you guys played the Super Bowl against the Raiders, did you know all the plays? beforehand?
Gruden was doing two-minute drill on Friday.
I've watched a clip of that before this interview. He was running as Rich Gannon.
He was doing Gannon when we go over two-minute on Fridays. He was doing there. He'd take everything, call out everything, call out every freaking play and everything like that.
Crazy.
Dink and dunk, and he was actually – and he's the first time that ever happened.
Right.
You know? That was only his first year, but I've never seen him in my 6 years with him to do that. But, yeah, he was calling exactly everything that was going on.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. John Lynch said it was so easy. He said that Super Bowl was like, I was like, I cannot believe they're doing everything that Gruden said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's nuts. I mean, you could feel it once the game started getting out of hand, but it is very weird to have that situation where a coach leaves one team and goes right to the other, and then they meet in the Super Bowl, and we saw by the final result. What was the final score? It was like
Much to too little.
Yeah.
22-21. I don't know.
Back in the day when Super Bowls sucked.
There's like a good 10-year run where it's like nobody should watch the Super Bowl because it's going to be a 20-point blowout.
Yeah, the one.
Time. Now it's like the Super Bowls are interesting.
The one that was good in that run, I mean, we should at least bring it up. How often in a given year do you see Kevin Dyson reaching for the goal line?
One yard, man. You know, that breaks my heart just watching it. You know, all that work, hard work, and 1 yard too short.
It's crazy because 2 weeks ago he was a hero, the Music City Miracle,
which you started.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick because I don't think people give you.
I think that was a forward pass.
People are not using a fullback. Don't start.
We had Coach Fisher in here.
Like the signature play, you could almost make an argument that your signature play over your career was the Music City Miracle in the way that you started it.
You look pretty athletic there. Throwing that ball, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't start, Mike. It's easy. Don't start. It's not becoming of you. Now, you know, we call it the home run throwback, but down it's a.k.a. the Music City Miracle. But it was something that I remember we got the huddle. We practiced every – it's not a Friday that didn't go by that we did not practice that. It's every single Friday we practiced that. And on Fridays, though – and Saturdays when you practice it, you know, you don't have pads.
Right.
So actually I could catch it and I could actually throw the pass all the way across. And I didn't want to take all the credit that day on that Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Let someone else have it.
Give it to him. Please.
So no. Listen, you could get Frank Wycheck in here.
Yeah.
They huddle up. We huddle up. Lowry calls the play. We're going to do this. Dyson's not even supposed to be on there. It's supposed to be Ike Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Ike's hurt, so he can't do it. The next supposed to be Derek Mason. He's got a concussion. He can't go. He was like the last guy who has never hardly even practiced Dyson. So when we called the huddle, said, we're going to do it, home run throwback, a.k.a. Music City Miracle. Everyone huddles up. We tell we're going to do the play. It's going to be on. I go to Frank Wycheck, sidebar conversation. I said, Frank, they're going to kick this ball to me. Come get it. I said, I'm going to catch it. And I said, they're going to kick it to me. Watch. And you come get it. I didn't tell everyone else because then people start looking. My job switched, my role switched. So Frank's the only one that I told on that, Mike. And I freaking, it's like slow motion. I said, oh my God, the ball's coming. I was trying to make sure the elbows are nice and tucked. I said, I got to, please do not drop this because I have a lot of drops. You know, I had hands like Roberto Duran, hands of stone. And so, comes. Sure enough, the ball comes to me. Take a couple steps, Wycheck, still hand it back, pitch it back to him. Yeah. Crank up the band.
And Coach
Make
Fisher, yeah, so we've had Coach Fisher on a couple times. He said the same thing that you guys practice it, and that Dyson, the reason why it was so close to a forward pass was because Dyson was not supposed to be there.
Exactly.
And he didn't know exactly where he should be standing.
That's awesome,
though, when it works out, man.
It's awesome.
And I've thought the same thing watching it. I just always assumed that you handed the ball back because you said you'd rather block on a play than, like, throw a pass.
Yeah, how old were you when that happened?
What year was that, 96?
No, 99.
That was 99?
So 14.
So 14 years old. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were still... You do the five single knuckle shuffle at that time? Did you start that already?
That was after the game. No, this was when I still thought I might be able to be a fullback as my profession growing up, until I stopped growing horizontally and vertically. So Lo, that was probably your signature play, and we've been talking a little bit. I know there's been a lot of chatter about your campaign for the Hall of Fame. I think both you guys should be in the Hall of Fame. It's been a while since a true fullback
has gotten in.
That's the issue. Like. Mike, you would be more of a halfback than a fullback, I guess, if you were to put on your highlight reel and say, okay, these are Mike Allstott's best plays, right? It's you dancing, running through people, having insanely fast feet as you're also running people over. And Lo, your highlight reel would be you just knocking the piss out of people. So it's like you are both fullbacks, but you're two different types of fullback. And I don't want you to split votes, so we got to figure out a way, like how do we figure out who's getting in the Hall of Fame here?
For me personally, I don't care if Mike gets in. I don't care if Moose Johnson gets in. I don't care if Larry Sinners get in. I think there should be a fullback in the Hall of Fame. I think if you look at Moose Johnson, you look at guys like Sam Gash, you look at, you know, even Corey Schlesinger, a guy that I loved in Detroit who, you know, didn't block a lot, but when he got in, he made guys apologize. Sam Gash would get down to William Floyd. There's a lot of guys. Tommy Rathman, you've seen, you know, the what he brought to the game. You know, I look at it and I'm just like, I just think that there has been, they let red guy, you let punters and stuff in. It should be a fullback, should be in the Hall of Fame. Mike's deserving. Moose Johnson's deserving. You go and you play, you know, double-digit years. You go out there, you block, you're putting it on the line. Sam Gash, go look at highlight reels of that guy, what he did. Max Schrum, what he did in Seattle. I mean, there's a lot of guys that don't get the credit. Mm. So for me personally, yeah, I know, you know, I got the shirts and stuff and T-shirts and campaign and all the different things. But
you got
for
going
me,
on, brother.
I'd be happy if you were in.
I think the one thing is, though, it's like, you know, the people that are in are always the superstars. You don't see the role players.
Right.
The guys that are taken care of, you know, paving the way, doing the small things behind the scenes, right. You know, for, you know, the statistic guys. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And remember, it's a team game. You need all 11, right?
Absolutely.
To win it and at one given time. So that's what this whole thing, you know, that we're talking about is, hey, why are we or being forgotten just because we don't have the 10,000 yards rushing and we don't have the gazillion touchdowns or we don't have this or we don't have that. You know what I mean? We're there each and every day. And the thing is, I think so, we did it the right way. You know what I mean? We put our hearts and souls and passion and did it the right way and stayed out of trouble and everything that was possibly do to live our dreams. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And make sure that we're out there. And when we were out there, we made sure we were going to get out there awfully fast. You know
right.
what I mean? If there was some type of injury. And that's the one thing that I think that is being forgotten a lot of times when we're talking about, you know when you're an NFLer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A true NFL.
Well, why don't we just get the fullback position is in the Hall of Fame. So it's like everyone, wouldn't that be the ultimate fullback where you guys all don't take personal credit, you just take credit for the position, and then we induct just the position as itself?
No, yeah. No,
you all get gold jackets. Boom, done.
I like that idea.
That's right?
Solved it.
Because then you guys can do a speech and be like, Mike can go up and be like, you know what, I don't want to take credit, I'll let Lowe talk. And then Lowe goes up and is like, I don't want to take credit, I'll let Moose talk. And then you guys just go around and around for like five hours.
And it will last 3 hours.
It will still be better than Ray Lewis.
Enough time to have the after
yeah,
it will
still be better than Ray Lewis' speech.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the idea.
Yeah.
I love it. I had a question. We were talking beforehand. Lorenzo, your son goes to Purdue. Mike, you went to Purdue. Why do you guys not like fun?
Why we don't like what?
Fun. You went to Purdue.
Mike's looking like he's going to kill us again.
Yep. I'm just going to do that every few minutes. Like, just be like, get him back. You don't like fun. You don't like fun, and you don't want your son to have fun, so you sent him to Purdue.
Mike had a lot of
West
fun.
West Lafayette.
Mike
is actually confused. He's like,
no,
college was awesome. What the fuck are you talking about?
Hey, Mike had some fun at Purdue. I met some people at Purdue. And
is it true, Mike, that you used to train by pushing your Jeep?
Yes.
At the practice fields at Purdue?
Uphill.
Jesus
Uphill.
Christ.
In the snow. Uphill, in the snow.
Would there be anybody
cheerleaders
sitting?
All the cheerleaders in the Jeep.
Would somebody be in the driver's seat ready to hit the brake?
Yeah, so Jamie Washell, my defensive lineman. So after leg day, we'd go back.
After leg day, you'd push your Jeep.
Yeah, so there was a parking lot that was for the band, right?
Uh-huh.
It was all marked out, painted, the parking lot.
Band camp?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. For field, you know, 100 yards field, and it actually had a little slope going one way. So he would get in, we'd turn up like Metallica, Led Zeppelin, whatever, and freaking get after it, right, and push all the way up. All right, next person turn around, and we just switch off and keep on doing it.
So, I mean, that's a stereotype for a fullback, but I fucking love it.
Yeah, no.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's the truth.
Yeah. And then did you also train with tires? I read something about you, like, what did you do with tires?
I actually started pushing a station wagon in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it started from. And then I had the Jeep when I went to college. But we'd actually have down the cornfields we're at, everything, and then all of a sudden there's cornfields. So we actually used to go from telephone pole to telephone pole pushing it. And then When I was in high school, I used to have tires and run 40-yard dashes in my yard, and I have a, like just a strip of no grass because that's where the tires were every day.
Jesus, yeah. Awesome. That's awesome.
What about you, Lo? What did you do to train?
You know what? I just picked up pigs and bucked hay, and you know. Wait, I'm from a country boy. I'm from the farm. I'm from a town called Lemoore, California.
You just picked up pigs.
Picked them up. Yeah, put them down.
A lot of pig balls. Ate a lot of pig nuts.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mountain oysters. When you get a chance to come out there, you come out to Central Valley down there to Lemoore, California. Uh-huh. I'll take you out there to the farm.
I've eaten a couple nuts. Yeah, I've had Rocky Mountain oysters before.
Yeah, so you cut them. You throw a little oil in there, and you make sure you clip them. Make sure you put a little... little kind of rubber band for them to bleed out.
I'm telling you how you do it.
Absolutely. So you'd have to, and then we'd give them a shot. So you had to grab these pigs and wrestle them. So mm-hmm. I'm wrestling pigs. I had to get up every morning at, believe it or not, 4:30 every morning.
You know he's an All-American wrestler, right?
Yeah, I know. I have it written down. He wrestled a sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
And beat him.
Milk cows. I had to do it all. But I'm a buck. Hey, you have to get that hook. Boom, boom. You don't use your back because you blow your back out. So every day, I'd run for 150 yards, 16 tackles a game average. And then I have to get up the next morning. My dad, on Saturday, my dad'd say, rise and shine. Those pigs don't care how many yards you ran for today, boy. Get up. Let's go.
Those pigs need picking up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for what reason were you picking up the pigs?
Because if you have to give them shots, you got to move them to different pens. They got to monitor them.
Just transport, just moving pigs around. Absolutely. I like it.
Calves, you know, that you got to when the moms have the babies, uh-huh. you got to get the calves out because it's cold. They'll freeze outside. Mm. So you got to bring them in and put them in a little stall and give them milk. So you're doing a lot of I'd go to school.
He
smelling
just read
like
this on the
shit.
Internet. He just read this on the internet.
I mean, it's great because it is there's kind of like this story of every fullback and having these, you know, pushing jeeps, picking up pigs.
It's like John Henry.
Yeah, but what have you guys have obviously talked to other fullbacks? It feels like everyone has one of these stories. The most blue collar position there is.
Mike Corney does it. He did the same thing. Mike looked up to you so much, Mike Corney. He's pushing cars, doing the same thing that you did, you know, because it's crazy. Guys would contact us. You guys would contact me. God, I want to be like you, Vontae Leach, all these guys. They'll contact us, pick up the phone. Tony Richardson, the great fullback, too. Wanted to mention him as well. But it's crazy because a lot of them, that's just hardworking guys.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
You know, there wasn't modern day technology as there is now, you know what I mean? You go in one warehouse and you get to do it all. We had to be creative. So mm-hmm. I mean,
it must be crazy walking into like college facilities now and seeing the weight room and seeing all this stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We would still be playing. If the way that the NFL and stuff is now, you can only be in pads 16 days during the season. So you only pad it up 16 days, bro. That's nothing. Only can go two. That is not even a whole season. You're only talking about pads only twice, 16 times, and 16. So that's nothing.
Right.
He's 3 years older than me. When I was at Purdue, we went 3 days.
Jeez.
3 days. So we had individual, right, in uppers, right? We came back for offense, defense, about an hour and a half after that. And then we had lunch, nap, and came back for a full scrimmage every day.
That sounds so annoying.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the way it was.
But while you were playing, you probably hated it, right?
No, because I was doing what I love to do. I didn't know
any
better.
You don't know any better, right?
I didn't know any better. There wasn't no talk of, oh, well, Indiana down the streets, you know, they're going, you know, one a day and they're in pads. It wasn't heard of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I was with Dungy, we had the pads on every day. Every day when I came in the league. You know, nothing was heard of like that.
Yeah, right. What was that transition like between Dungy and
night and day
and John Gruden? Because I can't think of two people that are less alike than those guys.
Night and day.
Was there like a transition where when Gruden comes in, you're like, holy shit,
this guy's serious? Cussing every day.
And then everywhere is saying, fuck, man.
No, you saw it.
Yeah.
On Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Dungy didn't have to say much. Dungy just respected
Dungy,
you.
Dungy had the look.
Right.
Right. The only time Dungy ever got fired up is when his own players fought on the practice field.
Interesting.
And it's only happened probably, you know, less than a handful of times in my career that they fought, and he'd kick them off the field, and he got furious.
Really? We actually had John Lynch on, and he said that you were told that you two couldn't hit each other in practice because you hit each other harder than anyone's ever been hit.
So that was with Herm Edwards.
Okay.
When Herm Edwards was the DB coach, all right? So I guess, you know, after talking to John, that I was a clavicle breaker. So don't hit him. So,
Oh, you guessed you were a clavicle breaker. You didn't know.
It seems like were you walking around being like, damn, all these guys are going on IR after they hit me.
No, but really, I mean, we were really probably, you know, less than two or three times really that we made contact, you know, in practice, you know. Because obviously he's going to come in the box and he wants to pop people and stuff like that. But,
and both of them are crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, he told you don't do that anymore? You guys don't hit each other anymore?
No, Herm told him.
Yeah.
Don't hit him.
Don't. Oh, so he it was for his protection.
Yeah.
The way he made it seem was like you guys were both not allowed to hit each other.
At the time he would come up to me and says, you know, I can't come down in the box, blah, 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 and do that. But, yeah, I mean, after a while, you know, after my rookie year, you know, I had something to prove. You know, my rookie year, just like every other rookie when we're, you know, 10, 12 years in the league, we're like, hey, that dude trying, you know what I mean?
I'm
hey, settle down, young boy, right?
Right.
But anyway, it was just something that just came about, and I guess it was a conversation between Herm Edwards and John.
Yeah. Going to put you guys both on the spot here. Tough decision for fullbacks. Cowboy collar or neck roll?
Cowboy.
Neck roll.
Oh, trouble in paradise.
Damn.
All right. What
Lent, should have brought you a neck roll.
What, a neck roll and a tuxedo would have been a
that is sweet. Yes. I got cowboy collars coming for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Okay.
So what was the decision making like when you were when you get assigned your shoulder pads? Mike, you in particular, you're like, let me get this big ass fucking thing that covers up my entire helmet.
It was just my outfit my whole life. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I had in high school. I actually had the horseshoe one. You know what I mean? The actual horseshoe that flayed out, and it had to be all taped up and when it got all ripped up. But I had this similar situation like I had in the pros in college, and then it just evolved. I don't know. It just evolved.
You're just comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And so you just never change it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are in the times of the half jerseys too and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Show the abs.
Yeah. Yes. Ezekiel Elliott before Ezekiel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Lorenzo, I wanted to do a quick run through because you played for so many teams. Obviously, Mike played just for the Bucks, but you played for so many teams. You had so many different coaches. So I wanted to list all the coaches and give me something about all these guys because there's football guys through and through on your coach list. So you start with Jim Mora.
Ooh.
Can you also tell me, as a side, what was the locker room like after the famous diddly-poo soundbite?
Oh, Jim Mora was unbelievable. I remember he called me in, broke my ankle. Believe it or not, I was leading the league in rushing, first two games. I was just two games, Mike. And averaging about 10 yards a tote. And I remember breaking the ankle, and he's like, look, you know, you were good, but you came back the next year. You just got to concentrate being a fullback. You can make a good living doing this. You can play some years. Just let it go. So I remember sitting down with him and going over that. And then, 2 years later, we're in a team meeting. And we just lost, and we were the Aints. That's when we became the Aints. And I had Sam Mills, Ricky Jackson. So I got brought up at baptism by fire. Those guys would try to kill me at practice. Shoot, Ricky Jackson brought a knife one day. I was scared of him, called him daddy, called my mom to come stay with me for 2 weeks. But Jim Mora, we're in the friggin' team meeting Monday after the game, and he gets up, stands up, and he said, guys, just I'm not having fun. I'm done. Walks out in the room. I was there. So I was there when Jim Mora quit, walked out of the room, just had a breakdown, and just quit. Think about 53 other guys in a room, and your head coach comes up on a Monday in the whole team meeting, talks for a bit, exits stage left and walks out.
Damn.
What happened?
Yeah, you that's a cliffhanger. That's a tease.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you.
Damn. All right, so then Parcells in New York.
Hucking and bucking. Parcells, that's his bit. Hucking and bucking. Hey, Neil. Hey, Lorenzo. Hey, come on. And the guys would fight at practice. Like, yeah, you guys stop fighting. One of you's scared, another one's glad of it. I mean, love Bill Parcells.
Okay, we talked about Dungy. You had Jeff Fisher in Nashville.
Hey, man, how are you guys doing? You know what? We can get this together. Hey, Eddie, we're going to run the ball. Hey, Steve, you got it. Hey, guys, we got this. You know Jeff, soft-spoken, Jeff Fisher, you know, smooth.
Right, right. Dick LeBeau in Cincinnati.
I love Dick.
All-time football guy.
Yeah. Clip that, Hank.
Yeah. Oh, whoops.
I mean, pick the ball.
No, you got that. That's fine. You got this. You're good, dude. You're good.
He's like, I love this.
We just got him. Yeah.
Got that?
Yeah.
We're a sex-positive podcast. It's fine.
He would come.
Love is love.
He would come in camp, and he would come in a Superman outfit and a Speedo. I mean, that's why I love Dick. He just freaking, I mean, just to get guys going, he was one of the.
How old is Dick again?
I feel like Dick LeBeau's always been 90 years old.
He's 70 some years old and he's still able to get the defense. He was play up, get up. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, and then Marty Schottenheimer last at the Chargers.
Man, guys, we got it. I mean, he would cry more than.
That's a football guy move, though. Huh? Oh. As long as you like Dick Vermeil, same way. Where
him and Dick Vermeil, I don't know who cried more. The team would start crying. We didn't know what he was crying about. Marty cried so much, we don't start crying.
But he's crying about football. Yes, so then it works.
Love Marty Schottenheimer. Yes. Chargers should have never got rid of him. Marty Schottenheimer really, really built that place.
Yeah. He got a bad deal in San Diego and a bad deal in D.C. too when he took him back from, I think they were 0-5 and they finished the season 8-3 on a tear. And then he goes out to San Diego and they fired him when he went, what?
14-2.
14-2.
14-2, they fired him.
That's nuts.
It was nuts. Mm-hmm. He broke up a dynasty.
What was it?
Could have been a dynasty. A little too soon.
What was it about those teams, though, not being able to get over the humps? Because those Chargers teams were fantastic and just couldn't finish the deal.
We just beat the team that we just knew was just us. We just beat the Colts. They were undefeated, 13-0. We go in there, beat them. We have a bye. We're going to play the Patriots. Go look at the tape. LT has darn near 100 yards, carries the ball 15, 12 times in the first half, touches it 4 in the second. We're winning that game. Ron McCree catches an interception with 4 minutes left. He tries to run it back. We're winning. Just fall down. And he tries to run it back, and he fumbles it back and gave them the ball back, and we lose that game. That year was just – we were sick. That's a year that – and then the Colts end up winning the Super Bowl. We had their number. That's one. The following year, we go back to the AFC Championship. I'm just coming off. I broke my leg. We didn't play in that game. LT was coming off a knee injury. Michael Turner. So we were just.
What year was this?
Phil Rivers had his ACL.
ACL. So we just.
Played with an ACL.
Played with it.
What year was this?
You're on it. Exactly.
It was crazy.
2005, 6. Yeah. So we had. Yeah. Those years, it was just unfortunate. The football gods just didn't like us.
So in that same backfield, it was you, Michael Turner,
Sproles,
LT, and Darren Sproles.
And Darren Sproles.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
There was also, I saw something online a couple of weeks ago that was basically like the greatest team to never make the playoffs, and it was, I think, maybe the 2004 Chargers.
It was later. It was like 2011. They had by far the best offense and the best
defense.
But
you guys were awesome in those early aught years.
Man.
Did you ever hear
your quarterback?
Phil. And Breezy. Yeah. Breezy.
Is that the year he got hurt?
Yeah, 1 year he got hurt, and then inserted Philip.
You ever hear Philip Rivers cuss?
Never. Philip does not cuss. Gosh darn it, smack. I mean, he's just always just a good old country boy.
Gracious to Pete is what I hear he says a lot of.
He does not cuss. The guy is crazy. All he is a baby making machine. He's on number 9. I just saw him last week. I'm like, you're gonna have 10? He said, I'm thinking about it. I said, give mama, let her come up for air every now and then, Philip.
What's the huddle like when you're down in like the fourth quarter with Phil Rivers?
He just starts screaming, God, just get lined up. He's so animated. Sometimes he seems like he's going to pass out because he's just going. He's so animated. He wants to, wants to win. And he's just a gunslinger, man. He's a gunslinger. He has so much heart, pizzazz. And I was lucky to play with both of them, him and Breeze, a.k.a. Breezes. I remember Drew was in the huddle when we were playing the Chicago Bears. And Marty said, hey, we're going to give you one more series. And I got the call from AJ. They're going to go with the young guy. And I was with Breeze. I said, man, just freaking lead. I said, quit looking over your shoulders and freaking go and do what we know you can do. Guys, believe you. So let's go. And he goes out and freaking come back. We beat Chicago. He holds it down to starter that whole time. And at that moment, you don't think anything. And then, he comes out with the book, and he mentions that particular moment.
That's
you just
cool.
never
yeah.
know
yeah.
that
yeah.
anything you say, sometimes guys take notice.
That's awesome.
Was there a change that you had to make in your game depending on who you were blocking for, the different styles of running back? Because you guys blocked for some of the great ones.
Yeah, guys like Corey Dillon, you need to hurry up and make the block right away and try to go and just get him and just move him right away because he wants to get it. Corey Dillon, friggin' or not, he'll run into you. Mm-hmm. Eddie George, you wanted to make sure too. LaDainian, you just got in front of him. Hell, you could fall down on his when he broke the record. Hell, he was running 70 toss. I fall down. Safety's right there. He makes him miss. Still gets an end zone. Makes me look good. Mm-hmm. So certain guys just had such unique ability.
There's a different running back. Yeah. There's a slow to go guy, and there's a guy that's going to
hit it
right away. Hole. You know what I mean? So you got to get in the hole.
Mike, did you have a strategy to make sure that work done got tackled inside the two so that you could get his touchdown?
I'm the vulture, you know, the touchdown vulture.
Yeah, you're lucky that about? Fantasy football wasn't that big back then, because people would have hated you.
Yeah, you would have been public enemy number one.
You guys see the ESPN take on that?
No, what did they say?
Look it up. I'm a touchdown vulture.
Yeah.
Okay. Wark was sitting there talking about that.
Yes. Yes, you were. You're the original vulture, for sure. I had a question for you, Mike. Today's NFL, it's always interesting to see guys are now asking to be traded, saying they want new deals. You had famously Warren Sapp in 2003, who always would say, if anyone needs a defensive lineman, come call me. And essentially, like, looking for a new deal. What does that do to a locker room when that happens?
Well, it wasn't that. If that happened, I never heard about it. You know what I mean? At the time, it wasn't, like, publicized. There was no social media going all over. No, people weren't tweeting it and doing what they do now and talking, you know, behind their phones and their social media as the players do now. I mean,
right.
It's more say, hey, going up to the coach and talking about it. But, you know, I really never experienced that too much. You know what I mean? Because, again, we kept our group of core, you know, for, geez, 8-10 years. You know what I mean? Until they did, didn't sign up Lynchy because he had a neck situation. Then he went and played on for Denver and the Patriots for, what, 4 or 5 more years. And killed it, right? And then you had Sapp take off, and then but the main guys pretty much stayed there, you know, pretty much the whole time. So it wasn't really ever a distraction in our locker room, because we controlled our locker room so well, you know what I mean? And it was more hard, it was more, and Lo Neal knows, it was more it was harder for a player to come in and play our type of football and be a part of our internal, you know, team than it was for, you know, for us to go out. You know what I mean?
Right.
The locker room was just freaking unbelievable. We solid, if you talk about it. And we controlled it. The coaches didn't have to get involved. You know, we had our private meetings, you know, when we didn't do things the way it should have been done. And Rondé was part of that core two group too. You know what I mean? And some other guys. And like I said, you know, in our day with the Bucks, everybody knew their role. And everybody took it, you know, very serious.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Lo? Because you were in so many different
I was going to say, I was going to ask that.
Probably
have
a different perspective.
It did definitely a different perspective. Shoot, where do you start? I mean, I was with the Saints, and it was totally different. I mean, I had guys that, you know, I came in 93, and Frank Warren's outside smoking. It's 120 degrees. I'm like, hey, we got practice an hour. Don't worry. Shut up. Get out of here. I mean, these guys, the Dome Patrol, it was just a different era of football. I mean, these guys were just – the weights, they didn't care about weights. They'd just go out and just go dominate. And I'm like, wow, you guys don't lift. And it's just, it was totally a different era. And then from Cincinnati that, you know, Dick LeBeau, great coach. But, you know, you had guys didn't want to win, didn't care anything about winning, didn't care anything about it. It was just their stats and getting paid. You know, San Diego was a great place where Marty had the culture. Tennessee was great with Jeff Fisher, and guys kind of policed themselves. But seeing so many different personalities. And you see, you know, when Norv came to San Diego, you knew that he wasn't a leader, necessarily a man, phenomenal offensive coordinator, but guys knew that they could do whatever. He wasn't going to say anything, and you start to see the team just kind of start to dwindle because of the fact he just put it on the players. And certain teams and certain guys, especially in certain areas, you can't do that because men need to have discipline. They need to have structure in their lives.
How quickly into a game would you know that you were about to take somebody's soul, like that they didn't want to hit you anymore?
You know, I'm thinking back on some individual games. You know, it's just, especially early in my career, we needed the running game, right? Mm-hmm. We had the defense, and we're going to win either 6-3 or 9-6 or whatever, because we had the defense, and we really didn't have, you know, both sides of the attack. You know, we didn't have the passing. But when,
Big Ten football.
Yeah, no question. And we needed to pound the ball, especially, you know, he was talking about the Minnesota game in 1998, right? And they're coming in 7-0, we're 3-4, and they're coming to our house. And, you know, they're on all high, and we needed it was a must-win for us. And it was whoever was going to punt was going to lose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were just pounding the ball, right? Pounding it. And they did not want us. They knew we were running 96 power row down their throat, and we were going to do it each and every time, right? And, again, you feel it. You feel that energy. You feel that, you know, they don't want it, and they're going to step back. You know, when Lowe comes and blocks them and I'm coming in the hole or vice versa, you know what I mean? You can no question you can feel that sensation of what they're going to, you know, how they're feeling right now.
And they wouldn't want to tackle him. We were playing that game, and I was going downhill, and Rudd start jumping out of the way. So you know you're getting ready to block him, and it's just you and that guy in the hole. You can see the whites of his eyes, and just opens up, and you're like, here we go. And all of a sudden, he'll fall down, or he'll try to take an angle, try to slip you and try to get by. You're like, all right, they don't want any more. And you see guys trying to tackle him, jump on his back or jump for the side, hit him. So you start to see the way that they try to take you on.
You just don't see the physical aspect of the game anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't see that aspect of coming straight downhill. You know, we're going to run between the tackles, and here we come.
Stop us.
You know what I mean? And stop us. And we're going to pose our will on you. You just don't see that anymore. It's more trickery-dicker doc. What trick plays are you going to do, and how are we going to do it, and stuff like that. And that's more you see nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd have to imagine the famous Warren Sapp versus Mike Sherman when he said, put a jersey on. Did you guys just repeat that all the time in the locker room? Because it's one of my favorite lines of all time.
Really?
And it wasn't pre-social media, so it didn't go like viral the same way. But I remember watching that game and Warren Sapp just yelling at him, put a jersey on, put a jersey on, because he was mad about a dirty hit. Did that become...
Yeah, when he
with Chad Clifton.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he lit him up.
On the interception run back.
Yes, yeah. Oh, put Sapp, a jersey on.
Hit him pretty good?
Yeah, yeah. Hit him real good.
He did the whole... crackback type of thing.
Yeah, Mike Sherman came up to him after.
I think Shelton Quarles was taking it back to the house. And,
And Mike Sherman came up to him after in the post game and was yelling at him, saying it was dirty.
And
Sapp was just kept on saying, put a jersey on, put a jersey on.
50-yard line, yeah.
I fucking love to put a jersey
on. It's just fun.
You just tell people, like, hey, put a jersey on.
Put a jersey on, bro.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any repeat. I don't know. Maybe the defense a lot. All
right, so I did.
The defensive guys really controlled the locker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when it came to the clowning around and all the talk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you could hear them coming from a mile down the hallway, you know what I mean? And just on each other. I mean, they would get so freaking personal on each other, and it would start some wars. I'm telling you that right now.
I'd imagine with Warren Sapp, he has that effect on people. Yeah.
Oh, he turned in, he'll get you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, Warren's the type of guy that, you know, he's in your corner, though. I mean, he's going to come to battle with you, you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong, he's gonna stir the pot. But again, he's gonna be right next to you in that battle on that field.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
If there's one guy playing the game right now that you look at and you say this guy could have been a fullback in the mid to late '90s, early 2000s, back when you guys were running people over, who is it? Who's that guy right now?
You know, truthfully,
say nobody. Please say nobody.
No. I don't watch the game enough. Right. I really don't. You know, I mean, I'll go through. I love watching Red Zone, going back and forth and doing that, where I'll be at the Bucs games and stuff like that. But I'm, like, so into my high school football, you know what I mean? I'm, like, so crazy about it and trying to get my own kids prepared and stuff like that. I'm not really a guy who got stats. I don't do fantasy football. I don't do any of that stuff. You know, I'm just all about, you know.
Neither do we.
In my
right? No, we don't.
No, Hank does.
Fantasy. Yeah, for nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I just don't
play
know.
Real football,
I just
Madden.
Yeah.
I just don't know all the players in today's game.
Yeah.
Like we used to know back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like everybody's moving, shaking, leaving, coming, going, and everything like that. You know what I mean? It just I don't know. I don't know if you know.
You're in radio.
Is there a fullback that jumps out to you right now?
I think you got to look at Cal Juszczyk. They have him cutting defensive linemen. He's running on – he's blocking safeties. He's catching the ball. He'll do bend-back plays. They'll do power. They line him up, and he
– Is he more of an H-back, though?
You know what? No, because actually, if you can, watch the last game against the Steelers. He was the point of attack. They would do the wrap play where he's lined up on a defensive end.
Right.
They would wham where he's whamming the three technique.
Right, right.
He's playing fullback, getting downhill. First play of the game, he comes at the inside linebacker and drives him 5 yards down the foot and pancakes him.
Yeah.
So I like what he's doing. There's another guy on the Niners that I love, Quan Alexander. Watch the way that he plays. He was in Tampa.
Okay.
This backer, he'll hit you. He's not afraid. He loves contact. There are some guys that still play the game.
You're talking either side of the ball.
Yeah, either side of the ball.
I know about Alexander. Yeah,
he'll get after it. So there are some guys out there that love contact, that aren't afraid of contact, that still want to hit guys. But if you're talking about fullbacks, I just love what Hushek brings to the game.
Yeah. So he's leading the league right now in fullback assists. Is a stat that we came up with, which you guys didn't have back when you played.
No, what is that?
Yeah, tell us that stat.
Yeah. So we
love to hear about this one.
I'd love to tell you about it. So we figured that there's all these stats out here for receivers, for running backs, quarterbacks. For a fullback, you don't really have anything that shows up at the end of the day if you did a good job, if you helped out on a touchdown. So we came up with a stat inside the 5-yard line, a rush that's 5 yards or shorter. If there's a fullback that's in the backfield that makes a block on a rushing touchdown, they get an assist. So it counts as a fullback assist.
Can you go on it in my 12 years and go back to my
– Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll have our stats department get on it.
And, do you have access to the film?
Because I'd actually like to know who the all-time leader in fullback assists is. I know last year it was Roosevelt Nix during the regular season for Pittsburgh, but then Devlin had like 7 in the playoffs. So if you don't count the playoffs, it was Nix. If you count the playoffs, it was definitely Devlin. Wow. But right now, Juszczyk has, I think, 4.
Can you get us the film?
How do you patent? Yes, right now considered patent.
Can you get us the film? That's the problem is we don't have all the Bucks film.
The NFL films.
The archives.
You get it for us?
Yeah, no problem.
We should have Stephen Che.
Yeah, we absolutely we have a guy.
You got people.
We have a Bucks guy. We have a super fan who he breaks down film for the Bucks by himself. Like he's a weirdo. Yeah. But yeah, he'll watch every play. He is. I mean, he's been doing it as like a hobby. He has like 5,000 followers.
I mean, I'd like to know between the two of you who had the. I think it might be low.
No question. Because I was dotting the eye.
You were scoring him.
Yeah, you were
scoring him.
Okay, so dotting the eye.
He was crushing
the Rhino package. I was following him. There's no question about it. Yeah.
I just had an idea to help you guys get in the Hall of Fame. I like the idea of the fullback position being
inducted.
Yeah,
just the whole position.
So the key to winning over the hearts and minds of sports writers is to somehow get Bruce Springsteen involved because they all fucking love Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. If we could get Bruce to write a song about a fullback.
That'd be awesome.
That's up at Bruce's alley. He writes a song about factory workers.
He's on your speed dial, right?
Yeah, don't you got him in speed dial?
Yeah, we could. I'm sure we know somebody. Peter King knows Bruce.
Yeah.
He's a good
friend
of ours.
For sure.
Or I can just write the song and then send it to Bruce and ask him to record it.
Yeah, just please.
You'll get five cents right on this plate, right?
It'll be called Low Man Wins.
How about that? Oh, my goodness.
Low Man Wins. Are you guys now going to be part of our panel for our yearly trophy?
Because you
snubbed us last year. We gave out the Low Man Trophy to the best fullback in college.
Both of you guys.
The trophy is just a tire. Yeah, it's a tire with a can, with a beer can nailed into it. And I think PFT reached out to you, Lo, last year to be on the panel, and you said no.
Fun.
No.
Maybe not. Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure I tweeted at you at some point. Mike, you don't have social media, so you're tougher.
It goes back to that fun comment.
You'll be part of the voters.
We would absolutely love to. You know what the thing about it is? Mike and I, we'll get you guys a bunch of fullbacks to vote for.
Yes.
The committee. So right now we've got, actually.
You're going to kidnap the fullbacks and bring them to us.
Yeah, pick them up.
We'll get to the fullbacks. He's going to show up with just a fucking truck full of fullbacks.
Just me and Mike.
Just call me. I won't see your tweet. Okay. Yeah. Just call me.
You're going to pick up a greased up John Kuhn and drop him off at our doorstep.
Yeah. You're in.
Right now we've got you two, Anthony Sherman, John Kuhn. Who else am I missing out on? A lot of people.
Danny Vitale.
Tom Fernelli, a.k.a. Yep. Hank.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll have a 40
Vontae
jersey.
Leach
I want it hung up right up there. You understand?
Yeah.
I want it up on that top shelf.
We got your jersey. We got Sherman.
You need a real jersey.
You need all of those.
That's a replica.
That's my jersey because I'm a fullback in rugby.
You need Lorenzo Neal's.
A lot of people compare me to you guys.
All of them. All right,
is
I have
that
one
that soccer league. What is it?
No, it's rugby. I play rugby. I used to play fullback. Not to brag, but a lot of people said that I. Yeah.
No,
I play like Mike Allstott.
You in the scrum and stuff like that?
I'm around the scrum. I'm scrum adjacent.
Yeah.
I'm nearby.
So you're the guy that they toss the ball back?
I'm the guy that they point at and then run over. They're like, that's my bitch. And then I wind up on my back.
All right, I have one last question. It's a SeatGeek question. Put in promo code TAKE. You get $10 off SeatGeek. How many times, you guys, who's going to win this bench off?
Oh, not me. Him.
Come on. It's only 135? Who's going to – what numbers are we putting up? What do we think? What's a fair number? We're not going to try to get injured. But what do we think we're going to put up?
I'm already injured. I'm on IR.
Oh, come on.
What do you got, a shoulder, a labrum?
I do. I do have a couple bulging discs in my neck that's making
my
delts.
You got rods, don't you? Got rods.
I got some nerve damage going into my shoulder.
Boo-hoo.
But I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm on it.
Big Cat got bit by a dog.
Nerve damage. Damn, that sounds so... I fucking stubbed my toe the other day.
Me and Big Cat, all right? Me and Big Cat.
Yeah,
okay.
My arms are too long.
Mike is still,
that's my problem.
Mike is still pissed off about the Purdue comment.
Yeah, I mean, that was a funny joke, but you had such little fun that you didn't even understand the joke.
Ooh.
Yeah, you and 75.
All right.
I have a long going. I went to the University of Wisconsin, so I have a long going thing with Purdue, and people get very mad about that, but it's a funny joke.
So you
joke.
Went like a decade after me, right?
Yeah, 2003 to 2007.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So when Purdue, well, no, you guys never have been really good. So
yes, I had 205 yards against Washington.
Ooh,
Wisconsin.
Okay, 205. Yeah. That was a pretty good day.
It's not. Yes,
I take that.
It was pretty good.
207.
What year was that?
205. 94. That was 95. Excuse me. 95.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
95.
That's pretty sick. That's Big Ten football day. Through and through.
No, it is.
There's
it
nothing
is.
Better
that's
than
all
Big
we did
Ten
is run
football.
The ball,
yeah.
So, I mean,
that's all you should do in Big Ten.
Yeah.
Mike Lostat and Neil Armstrong. That's all you think about when you think about Purdue, right?
Yes.
You got Drew.
Oh, yeah, Drew Brees. That's true.
Yeah. And then Robbie Hummel.
How about Rod Woodson?
Rod Woodson. Yeah.
Then a bunch of pale guys.
Yeah, you got Neil. Yeah, who is it Lorenzo Neal Jr.?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
What position is he play?
D tackle.
Thank God you did that because Lorenzo's maybe the coolest name of all time.
You know, he's like, he was in a pre-draft, I would say, preseason pre-draft, 15.
Yes.
Okay. I love it. Wait, the world needs another Lorenzo Neal.
I mean, it is the
NFL.
Coolest thing. Lorenzo Neal. Low Neal.
Well,
no, you don't understand. It is the coolest thing having kids succeed after you, and it's the most nerve-wracking thing, though. You
know, I'm a father, so yeah, I know.
I mean, it's
he's only 3 months old.
Thing.
I got to see your kid.
Yeah, thank you.
I got a dog.
When you see your kid
he breaks
you know,
news.
Do such great things, I'm getting goosebumps on it right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
You have no control, but you're scared shitless. I mean, you really are.
My kid puked on me the other day. That's it was awesome. Fucking awesome, dude. I was like, dude, good job, son. Yeah, yeah. Good job. You puked. I puked back on him, yeah. No, it was like a father-son bonding.
Did you rally?
You know, I puked
went
all
right
over
back
his
to
face.
The milk?
Yeah,
right.
We like, dude, this, bro, bro.
Gotta rally, bro. All right, let's do this bench press thing.
Yes. Thank you, guys. This has been so awesome.
Pull back Friday.
Yeah.
And you're on the committee now, and we're going to get you in the Hall of Fame.
I'm excited about the committee. I'm excited about the committee, me and you.
You're up first.
On bench?
Yeah.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Before we get to segments, I want to say something real quick. Jevon Snead, the former quarterback, he played at University of Texas. He was an Austin guy for a while. He was a great college quarterback. He passed away last weekend. Unfortunately, he was also a listener, part of my take. And one of his friends hit me up and let me know about this. And they have a GoFundMe going. So Jevon dealt with some concussion issues throughout his career, and his family is putting together a fund. That is, they're going to donate a lot of money to CTE research, and they're also going to buy really safe helmets for his high school football team that he played on. So there's a GoFundMe out there. It's the Jevon Snead Memorial Fund GoFundMe. So check it out. If that's something that you're inclined to donate to, I would appreciate it, and I'm sure his family would too. So go check that out.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have Firefest of the Week.
Boys. Yes.
Hank, your Firefest of the week.
My Firefest of the week is this Grape Ape that Stu Finer gave me. Came for Barstool Sports.
Is that
what's
Grape Ape?
Gave me a slice of
what
some Grape
that?
Ape.
Pizza?
Hot leaf.
Oh.
Oh, tea.
And it was some absolute fire, and I had myself a nice little Firefest courtesy of Stu. So.
Wait, so before your Firefest was good?
Yeah, he gave me some fire.
This is like when PFT picked the Vikings is done.
He gave me some fire bud, and then I had a fire fest.
Oh, okay. So you're high right now?
No,
as you're recording. Okay,
no,
thanks.
This was Hank, after hours.
Hank, do we have to start giving you sobriety tests?
I didn't know we had Chris Long as our fucking producer.
Yeah, it's disgusting, Hank. They're kids that listen to the show. You're probably giving him a contact high right
only,
now.
Only at night.
Your dad listens to this show.
Yeah.
We're taping
Damn.
This at night, Hank.
Does Mr. Lockwood know about the Purple Kush?
Oh, he knows.
Actually, if everybody got down with the Grape Ape, then Taco Bell would see a significant uptick in sales.
True. True. Not that we're condoning it.
No, we're not.
All right, PFT, go
My
ahead.
My Fire Fest of the Week is...
Weed's legal. Who the fuck
cares? Yeah, well, not on a federal level.
Yeah, whatever.
I can still turn you in.
Those laws.
I'll go Tekashi 6ix9ine on your ass so fast we'll make your head spin.
Stupid.
So my Fire Fest is the store for guys 5'10 and under. That's actually the name of the store is for men 5'10 and under. Is opening this weekend, and they fucking had the nerve
to
send me a DM inviting me to the grand opening.
Yeah.
To help promote their fucking store.
Good. You should go.
No.
I thought it was going to be the NBA is making everyone list their
really
so high
to them right now.
There's that.
And you can't be in the NBA and lie that you're 5'10 or whatever you say that
I'm
you are.
I'm calling for a mancot.
5'8.
Not a boycott, a mancot of the 5'10 and under store.
Don't you dare promote that opening of that store.
Well, number one.
PFT's, the best part is PFT's getting paid on the side now to be under 5'10. This is all a ruse.
Well, I know I'm under 5. It's just a very...
They sent a DM, and he's mad about it, but you can check it out at these locations.
No, don't. Don't do it. First of all, it's insulting that they called it 5'10 and under. Like, 5'10, you're basically a giant at that point. In many countries, you are a giant if you're 5'10". It seems like a very arbitrary number. And secondly, I prefer my size stores to indicate whether or not it's meant for a casual male. I don't know if the store is for a casual male.
At least
casual male XL tells you that you can be casual and a man and shop there.
I don't want
at this store. What is it formal? Is it for formal boys? I don't know.
I don't want to bash one of your advertisers, PFT, but 5'10 and under is kind of stupid from them because 5'10 is the height that every guy who's lying about their height, who's 5'7, 5'8, 5'9, says they are.
I'm 5'10 and a half.
So you look at that and you're like, I'm not that. They should have been like 5'8", and they would have gotten all the honest short guys like yourself to go in.
You don't want those customers.
Yeah.
So we will steal from you.
Bagel Boss greets you.
Absolutely. They should let you
Navy's
know what?
Passing.
You know what?
This is bullshit. Navy's passing the ball.
Here's the other thing about that store is they should – it's embarrassing to be walking into that store. They should label it something that's less embarrassing that you would not be – like a snuff film store.
They should also –
I would much rather be caught like on camera walking into a store that sells exclusively stepmother porn – than going into a store that says 5'10 and under.
The door also has to be 5'10.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, it bumps everyone. And it's got razors on it, so it cuts you.
And then it's a bunch of dudes walking in with their tippy toes trying to hit their head and be like, oh, shit.
If you try to steal Valor, you get sliced open.
It would be so cute, too, because it should be 5'10, Hank, and then we should put like a little hoop there so that they can finally dunk. And they're just like, ooh, yeah.
I did dunk.
Okay, next up we have...
My bad. No name, no Firefest?
It's a continuation of my Firefest last week. I stole something from Starbucks. I stole a Frappuccino, and I didn't get the satisfaction that I thought I would get.
How did you do it?
I did the mobile order steal. Yep. I walked in, and I just took the Frappuccino that looked like it had the most melted whipped cream.
Yeah.
And I took it.
Well, what's nice about that...
I tried it, and I was like, you know what? This didn't give me the thrill I wanted, so it kind of sucks, because I thought stealing from the mobile order section... would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
You did steal from the man, which is nice.
Correct.
You stole from Howard Schultz. Yep. Congratulations on that.
Got him.
Also, if you place your order for just like an iced coffee black, then the calories that you stole don't count because you ordered an iced coffee. You didn't order the Frappuccino. So good for you.
No, I ordered an iced coffee. I picked up an iced coffee and a Frappuccino.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count either
because
you didn't pay for it.
So I paid for half of my order.
Yeah, good for you.
And so I stole the other half.
Yeah.
So that was fine.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
They have margins built into these products for that reason.
I wanted to do it just to feel like I was alive. And the one I stole,
the whipped cream was so melted that there's no chance anyone was picking that up. It had been there for at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing them a service so that they didn't have the confusion like, is this your drink? Is this your drink? Is this your drink?
Also, having a dilapidated looking product just sitting out there is not good for business for Starbucks.
Right.
So, like, people walk in, you're like, is that what I'm going to be getting?
Right.
It's like when I was a kid, my dad, when he'd take me to the grocery store sometimes, when he wasn't buying me cornflakes, he would take me to the cookie aisle. You know, like the open bins of cookies that you could take them out with, like, a spork or what are those called?
The
pincers.
Yep.
So there'd be fresh baked cookies at the bakery.
Yep.
Right, and he would say, if there's a broken cookie, you can take it for free because they can't sell it.
That's a rule.
And so I would take a cookie, and then sometimes I'd go and I'd start breaking them myself because there were no broken cookies.
Badass.
And then that was quite a thrill.
This was.
I would love to do a podcast with your dad just about like him going flakes. To the grocery store.
Yeah.
He's a thrifty guy.
Do like supermarket sweepstakes with him.
Yeah, he would
recreate it. This was the We All Broke the Law at Firefest. Hank did weed. Mm-hmm. I stole a drink. PFT lied about his height legally.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big time.
But if I did that on Tinder, it would be against the law.
Firefest was all criminal.
It's a criminal bad organization.
Boys. Guess who's back to Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Bad Boys. All right, let's do a couple more
Hot
segments.
Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah. He's probably Doug Gottlieb probably took his pants off when I started explaining what I did at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Stay classy, D.C., Washington, D.C., that is, because Bryce Harper got heckled and his kid got heckled.
Mm-hmm.
So they heckled crew.
Who would ever heckle Bryce Harper's kid with the weird name?
Damn.
We would never do such a thing.
Crew's a great name.
My favorite. No, it's not. Okay. My favorite quote from it was his wife was like, she tweeted, when you bring his son or family into it, yes, you're crossing a line. Stick to your overused, overrated, and Harper sucks chance. If you're really that loser that goes to a game to heckle someone, Philly fans might boo him, but they don't bring his four-week son into it. You sure about that? You got another 12 years?
I think you're kind of putting it. You can't challenge Philly like
they
that.
They literally are like, what?
You can't,
we'll
yeah,
fucking
yeah, we'll,
do
I'll
that.
Boo your we'll, fucking infant.
Yeah, we'll say crew sucks.
Yeah, that little shithead kid. Dare me. I'll say something about him. I think it's kind of a bad sports town thing for Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Because when you read the update to it, it wasn't a D.C. sports fan that did it. It was a Boston sports fan that was on the road in D.C. that booed him and said this stuff about his kid and then apologized publicly for it. So Washington sports fans are on the hot seat for not having the balls to go after his kid.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, as a great sports town with the Capitals, the Mystics, the Nats. Natitude is back. We demand a lot from our professional teams
Natitude.
In Washington, D.C.
Big time Natitude coming up. I also have a quick way to stay relevant, baseball. Did you see this? Everyone's mad about Mike Minor getting his 200th strikeout. So Mike Minor, who was a starting pitcher, got injured for a few years, struggled back. He, in the ninth inning of his last start today, or appearance, he threw the ball, pop up, told his first baseman, drop the pop up so he can strike the guy out. It was a foul ball. He dropped the ball on purpose.
It's a stray hand situation.
Struck the guy out, and people, the old crotchety baseball guys are pissed.
Yeah, Peter Gammons just like exploded like spontaneously.
There
just
are people
blooding
like,
guts and gray hair everywhere.
Bush League, embarrassing. Who the fuck cares? It's the 200 strikeout. It's a personal milestone for the guy who struggled his way back. And then he still struck him out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still had to strike him out.
If baseball writers were in charge of high school football, they would get so pissed off when they let the equipment manager that might have a disability score a touchdown
right.
in the last game of the season. They would flip the
Insane.
Fuck out about that.
Speaking of that, good
speaking
segue.
Of that, Larry likes the Chiefs.
Oh,
Chiefs.
Larry likes
okay.
the Chiefs. Nice. That was during our ad. We're still in the ad.
You've all been duped. This has been a huge ad for my 5'9" and under story.
Yes. Speaking of high school football, we have a quick sabermetrics for Antonio Brown, who Antonio Brown has gone crazy again. Stop me if you heard this. He basically quit the NFL last week, and then this week today has decided the league needs him, and he said, the game needs me. I'm like test dancers. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no more Nikes. Then he said, next week, I'm going to practice at every high school one day of week, starting in Miami, send school info now.
Yeah, that's the Mark Sanchez training plan.
I looked it up, 37,000 high schools in America.
I think Antonio Brown can manage to get kicked out of and alienate every single one of those 37,000 high schools.
And then he got in a fight with Eric Weddle.
Yeah, he was going after multiple people on Twitter. Golden Tate, too.
Yes.
No one's ever gotten in a fight with Golden Tate.
I don't really know what's going on here, but yeah, it feels like someone should take his Twitter away.
I feel like, yeah, it's a bad situation that he's in for real.
But
you can't stop what's happening. He's just going to continue self-destruct. But he did have a good idea earlier this week. He tweeted out that, no, he didn't tweet out. It was an Instagram story of him training and said, USA Rugby. Let's do this.
Ooh.
So he wants to play rugby for the lads who, by the way, covered against England.
They lost by 48.
Don't ask what the – no, we didn't. We lost by 42.
Oh, wow. That's a win.
Yeah.
The only good thing that AB did, though, was when he talked shit
to
Eric.
Why are you so negative about USA Rugby?
Yeah, they sent us shirts.
They listened to the show. And
I'm not negative.
They're solid Americans.
I like winners. I'm negative. I mean, I'm the same way with USA Soccer. I want winners.
Okay. All right. Well,
I want winners.
They did.
I want to be
the
best
in sevens.
When USA Rugby wins, we're in.
Okay.
We lost by 42.
We lost 45-7.
Can't win with them. Want winners. Can't have it.
Okay. Well, they
can't win.
They covered is the big thing.
They covered the live line.
They covered the live line.
They didn't cover.
They covered my line. My own personal pocketbook.
By the way, AB. It is nice when you get in a fight with someone on Twitter and then you can actually post pictures of you stiff arming them. So credit to him on that. He kind of won the Eric Weddle thing when he's just like, hey, here's me just kicking the shit out of him.
I think AB's pissed off that Jalen Ramsey is kind of stealing his swagger a little bit this week. Because like, every day something's happening with Jalen Ramsey. The fake pregnancy, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, the fake sickness. And now I think he can take paternity leave for as long as he wants.
I also think it's a good move of him not going in when he's sick because being around Tom Coughlin, if he sneezed on him, he would just kill him.
Yeah, that's
Tom
true.
Coughlin's immune system is not tip-top shape.
That's
put
true.
It that way.
All right, let's finish up with a couple woes, and then we'll get you to your football weekend. Fucking love every weekend in the fall. There's nothing better, you know, by the way, Saturday night when you like are watching, you finish watching every college football game, and you're like, oh, still got a whole day to do this again.
I get to run it back.
It's the best.
Let's run it back.
The best.
How come an octagon has 8 sides, an octopus has 8 tentacles, but October is the 10th month?
Whoa. Wow, that's pretty fucking good.
Whoa.
Damn.
In September, that should be 7.
Correct.
But it's not. It's 9.
Yeah.
And November should be 9. And DEC should be 10. What the hell is going on with the calendar? Why are we always 2 months behind? The Zodiac's pregnant. It's always 8 weeks late.
You don't really wash your hands. They actually watch each other while you just stand there and watch.
You don't wash your hands?
You don't wash your hands. They wash each other, and you just stand there and watch.
Fuck. Yeah, that's true.
That is a very high thought.
That is very true, though. Damn.
What about your ass? Do you wipe your ass, or does your hand watch your other hand wipe your ass?
Damn.
Whoa.
Damn. You know, like, could your hand ever be like, yo, I don't want to wipe this ass?
No, you got to. That's your job. Do your job. Your human body is the Patriot way.
Can you hear silence?
I just heard it. Yeah.
The sound of silence is a song.
Did you just hear that, though?
Yeah, so the sound of silence is a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Simon and Garfunkel. Shout out those fucking weirdos. They always looked so weird on their pictures.
Them and Hall & Oates.
They're just like, we're just going to take weird-ass pictures.
They're like, who's going
to be cool?
Who's going to look more like a dad porn star on this album cover? It's Paul Simon or Daryl Hall?
Yeah.
If you say beer can in an English accent, it's the same as saying bacon in a Jamaican accent.
Do it, PFT.
Beer can.
That's pretty awesome.
Beer can.
Laura Mercer.
Beer can.
Rose back.
Damn.
We'll end with that.
Okay. That was great. All right. We'll enjoy it. Win. Go to BetMGM. Put in code PMT. Get $500. And let's fucking win. Let's win. You will not
lose
my parlay.
I've
you will not lose
down.
My parlay of Colts, Chiefs, Rams, Moneyline parlay.
Love you guys.
Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say. Today is enough day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on.